Yud Adar Beis, Wednesday the 12th of March, Rabbi Moshe Levy, Mazel of Purim.
Mishnechnas Adar, Marbim B'Simcha. When the month of Adar comes in, we increase our happiness. And we all know Mishnechnas Av, when the month of Av comes in, we decrease our happiness. Mematzim B'Simcha. And the rabbis tell us what to do. How do you decrease your happiness? No shaving, no parties, no music. But when it comes to the month of Adar, doesn't tell us what to do. Just says, Marbim B'Simcha. What exactly are we supposed to do? How do we increase our happiness? We could have a different time of class. What is Simcha? What is happiness? But what exactly do they want us to do? We know on Purim we have a mitzvah, Chayiv Inish L'Bisumi Ad Lo Yada. A man has a responsibility to drink Ad Lo Yada until he doesn't know. I was giving a class to a bunch of girls, and they said to me, Rabbi, how come only men have a mitzvah to drink? How come the women don't have a mitzvah to drink? Why is it Chayiv Inish? They didn't say, why is it Chayiv Inish? Because they don't speak Aramaic. But how come women don't drink? How come the mitzvah is only for men? And I said to them, women know when they don't know. Men don't know when they don't know. They said, what? I don't really understand. I said, nowadays you have sat-nav, so it's not as common. But you tell me if this ever happened to you. You're driving. You're lost. And the mom is saying, maybe we should stop and ask for directions. And what's the dad almost always going to say? I know exactly. I've been here before many times. This is very familiar. It's coming right up. Maybe we should have made that. 20 minutes later, he'll be like, there must be another road that looks identical. Because this is, I was here. It's for sure. He goes all the way back. And then he realizes he's even more lost. Says, I was right the first time. Men don't know when they don't know. Women are happy to acknowledge and happy to say, I don't know. Reb Dessler says that every month, every Yom Tov has a special koyach, special power. He gives an example. It's like sitting on the train. A guy gets on the train, he wants to go to Manchester, and he's exhausted, he's working hard. He falls asleep. Before they even leave, they go all the way to Manchester, everybody gets off, they don't pay attention to him. They load the car up, drive back. He wakes up, he's in the train station, says, what's going on over here? What's taking so long? He missed the whole ride. Says Reb Dessler, during the year there's certain koyach. Most people sleep through it. Most people don't take advantage of the power of the different months, of the different Yom Tovim. But the power is there. And we know there's a concept of mazalot, constellations. Not the stuff that people read in the newspapers where they're very, very vague. But there's a certain koyach to the mazal. We know in the month of Tishri, when you have Rosh Hashanah, the mazal, the picture of the mazal of the zodiac is the scales. The month before that is a basula. It's a new start, it's fresh, it's a beginning, Virgo. We know in this month, the month of Adar, what is the mazal? The mazal is mazal dagim, fish. And if you've ever seen a picture, you have one fish this way and one fish the opposite direction. In English, I believe it's called Pisces. What does the fish have to do with Adar? What does it have to do with happiness? What does it have to do with Purim? What does it have to do with drinking? What is the mazal? What is the koyach of this month that we want to tap into, that we want to take advantage and make sure we're not sleeping through? One more question before we tie it all together. We all know that the month, the highlight is Purim. Purim is called Purim. Al Shem HaPur, right? Mordechai and Esther, the Megillah, because of the lottery. So I saw Nasif Seichayim ask for a freelander, why is it called Purim? It should be called Pur. Chag Pur Sameach. Why Purim? Why is it plural? So you might tell me, well, Mordechai made more than one lottery. He picked out the month, and then he picked out the day of the month. Excuse me, Haman. I'm Mordechai. Haman picked out. I'm already drunk. It doesn't make a difference. Mordechai, Esther, I'm already... Baruch Hashem. Haman picks out the lottery. One is the month of Adar, and one is the day, the 13th day. So you might say that's why it's plural, but there's usually another reason. There's a deeper understanding. They explain, what does it mean, the mazal of dagim, the fish? And why is one facing this way, one facing the other way? So I once heard of a Rav. He went to the marketplace, wants to buy fish for Shabbos. And He sees a nice big fish. He says, how much is that one? They tell him, 50 pounds. He says, 50 pounds? Usually I buy that size every week. It's 30 pounds. The man says, no, this is a special one. Inside, there's another fish. He says, what? He says, this big fish swallowed a little fish. You feel, you see, here's the thing. He says, wow, I definitely want this one. Pays the 50 quid. And he calls in all his students. He says, I want to teach you one of the most fundamental lessons in life. They're looking at him from the fish. He says, yeah. The fish is lying down. His head is facing this way. They open up the fish. And inside is another smaller fish facing the opposite direction. And the rabbi says to his students, do you notice anything peculiar? And they say, yeah, what? Why is the other fish facing the other way? It would have made more sense. The big fish comes and swallows the little fish from behind. And the Rav says, that's the lesson. That's what the month of Adar, that's what Purim, it's what it's all about. And they said, we don't understand what you're talking about. He said, you see this little fish? This little fish knows that he's a little fish. He knows some big fish could come from behind and swallow him. So he davens and says to Hashem, Hashem, please, make sure no big fish come and swallow me up. Hashem says, I got your back. No problem. I'll take care of you. The little fish doesn't ask for Hashem to protect him in front, because he sees where he's going. And then you got the big fish. And the big fish thinks to himself, I'm a big fish. I'll just sneak up behind one of these little guys and swallow him up. And the whole day he's trying, and it's not happening. At the end of the day, he says, Hashem, I'm starving over here. I need your help. Hashem says, you want my help? No problem. You don't got to do anything. You put your trust in me, all you got to do is sit back, it'll come to you. The food, the parnasa, it'll come to you. And the rabbi tells his students, you won't see big fish swallow up little fish from behind. Because the little fish, they ask Hashem for help. Hashem says, you want my help? I give you my help. In front, you don't need my help, you're on your own, go for it. No problem. The fish, the big fish, when he asks for Hashem's help, that's when he gets help. When he thinks, I'm going to do it, Hashem says, b'chavod, go for it. The idea of the mazal, and that's why in the picture, by the way, it's always they're facing, if they do it properly, in opposite directions. You have one fish this way, one fish that way. That's the picture of the mazal, of the zodiac, of Adar. Because it's one fish about to go into the other one. The lesson of the fish, put your trust in Hashem. Understand that you're not in charge. Understand that Hashem is going to provide for you no matter what. Hashem will protect for you if you ask for help. And you can sit back and relax. And that's why we eat dag b'yom dag. Why is there a minute to eat fish on Shabbat? Why do we eat fish? So you might tell me dag is gematria 7, and you eat 7 on the seventh day. But the whole idea of Shabbat is then you don't have to go to work. What do you mean? I'm going to make parnasa. Learn the lesson of the fish. When you trust in Hashem, you sit back and the food, the money, it'll come to you. You have to put your trust in Hashem. Haman makes a lottery. And he says to himself, great! Mazal fish! Unbelievable, the whole idea of Haman and the lottery is what? Everything's luck. Haman says, I'm the big fish, I'm going to swallow the yidin, the little fish. I'll swallow up the Jews and the... it's perfect! It's meant to be. It's good luck. Says we're feeling that that's why Haman makes a lottery. We all know a famous idea. Why does Haman make a lottery? Because he's from Amalek. And they don't believe in Hashem. Everything's by chance. We're introduced to Amalek, and where do we see them? You see them right after Kriyas Yamsuf. And you have to be out of your mind to start up with the Jewish people. You'd have to be preposterous. All the plagues, splitting of the sea. What does Amalek say? Good timing. What about the plagues? Yeah, but the Jewish people, they probably put something in the water. That's dam. And then once the water was contaminated, all the things that live in the water come out. Tzfardeya. And then once you have animals that don't belong on the land, there's diseases, and then you get lice, kinim. And then the animals also get these things, and they have rabies, and they go crazy, and they start attacking. And then they die. And then once there's dead animals everywhere, then there's more diseases and people get boils. It's all nature. No such thing as God. It's just the way things work. Splitting of the sea. Look in the Torah. It says, Ruach Kadim, there was strong wind. Jewish people had good timing. Egyptians, bad timing. No such thing as Hashem. You'd have to be crazy to start up with the Jews. But no, they don't believe. It's all luck. It's all mazal. It's all good timing. It all happened to be. Someone makes a goral, makes a lottery, because he wants to show, that's what we're going to do. We named the holiday Purim. I had a bunch of students, I said to them, this is going to sound a bit crazy. I've been to Poland about 10 times in the past few years. And you have Holocaust Memorial Day, January 27th, the day they liberated Auschwitz. I said, imagine if they changed the name. From now on, instead of Holocaust Memorial Day, we're going to call it Gas Chamber Day. You'd say, that's ridiculous. Are you crazy? How could you name it? That's what Purim is. We're naming the Yom Tov after the way the bad guy wanted to kill us. You're going to name the Yom Tov Chag Purim Sameach, happy lottery, Haman wanted to kill us with the lottery? Why do we name the Yom Tov after that? Because we have to remember Haman's attitude. Haman said, I'm going to make a lottery, it's all by chance. And you've heard this idea before many times, I'm sure. Ask the Sifsei Chaim, says Rav Freelander, we bash Haman. How could he? He makes a lottery, he doesn't believe in Hashem. We also have in Judaism times that we make lotteries. How did they divide up Eretz Yisrael? They conquered the land of Eretz Yisrael. How did they give each chalukah, each portion to a different shevet? Made a lottery. On the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, we make a lottery. Selah Hashem, Selah Azazel. So we sit there and we bash Haman and we say, how dare he, and he's on Malik, and they don't believe. We also make lotteries. And we all know, it says in the Megillah, Haman who says, Im Zera Yisrael, and Zera says to him, and everything is Karohu. Mordechai also says Karohu. He brings down by Boaz and Rus. It also says Karohu. When Eliezer comes and he's talking to Besuah, what does he say? Hikra Hashem Lefanenu is a mikra, it happened to be. So we bash Haman, because he's everything by chance, and he makes lotteries. We do the same thing. So what are we doing bashing Haman? What are we doing saying, hey, he's this terrible guy? Seems like we do the same thing. Answers, Sifsei Chaim, no. There's two types of lotteries. You can do a lottery and have two totally different intentions. A few weeks ago, somebody called me up and he said, Rabbi, I took a table by a dinner. Come, it'll be a nice evening. There'll be an inspirational speaker. I said, who's the dinner for? He said, Yad Sarah. Yad Sarah is a great organization in Eretz Yisrael. They give wheelchairs and they give crutches and any type of medical equipment. And when I had the schus, the merit to live in Eretz Yisrael for 5 years, one night my wife wakes me up. She says, there's something wrong with the baby. We have to go to the hospital. I said, what's wrong? She said, listen. And I hear, we young parents, we didn't know what that was. We freaked out. We take the baby, run to the hospital. They said, don't worry, it's not dangerous. It's croup cough. Croup cough, you Google it, it'll tell you symptoms. Breathing sounds like a seal. That's what it is. Said, don't worry, it's okay. But you need to just get antibiotics and use it through a nebulizer. I said, where am I going to get a nebulizer? Said, don't worry, go to Yad Sarah. I said, you know what? I have Hakarat Atov to Yad Sarah. I'll go to the dinner. Beautiful dinner. And who's the guest speaker? A couple of years ago, they had over here in London the Olympics, and they had the Paralympics. And the guest speaker was an Israeli guy who won the gold medal in the Paralympics in tennis. And he gets up to speak, and he tells how he joined the army, and he worked his way up the ranks, and he became a helicopter pilot. And he says one day was a foggy day. He was flying. The next thing he knows, he wakes up in a hospital bed. He said, I thought I was in a car accident, because can't be, I was in a helicopter accident. He then tried and realized he couldn't move his legs. He subsequently found out that his best friend and co-pilot unfortunately passed away in the accident. He said, at first I was very depressed. I said, why did this happen to me? And then I said, I can't just live life and be depressed. So he decided he's going to get on with it. And they show him in the video, he's in his wheelchair skiing. He says he starts playing sports and tennis, and then he starts doing it professionally, and then he gets into the Olympics, and then they show a video of him winning the final shot, and then they show him getting the gold medal. They raise the Israeli flag. They're playing Hatikva. He's crying. It's very emotional. It's a very, very inspirational speech. He finishes his speech, and my friend says to me from across the table, "Rabbi, you didn't like that speech, did you?" I said, "What? Why not?" He said, "The guy spoke for 25 minutes. It's a miracle he's alive. And he didn't even mention Hashem once." I said, "I wasn't going to say anything, but I definitely noticed." And again, I don't know if you can judge. I don't know if he believed before, after. He didn't blame Hashem, didn't thank Hashem. But I definitely noticed. A couple of weeks ago, I was running a trip in Eretz Yisrael. And the trip was from Sunday to Thursday. And before I booked the trip, months ago, I said to my wife, "You know, even when we go away with the kids, Baruch Hashem, it's beautiful, but it's not a vacation. It's a family trip. We need a holiday. I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael anyways. I checked tickets just for you to come for the weekend. It's £200. So, what? Come for the weekend. We'll have some quality time." You have to do these things. Shalom bayis. If you don't make date night and if you don't make time to go on holiday, you're always too busy. You have to plan it. So, she comes Thursday night to Eretz Yisrael. And at the border patrol, they tell her, "Look, your passport is okay, but your Israeli passport expired. You can't leave without a new passport." Oy vavoy. Friday, the office is closed. Sunday, we go to Misrat Al Panim. And the lady tells us, "You can't get a new passport in a day. We say, we have to fly back tomorrow. We have four kids waiting at home, Baruch Hashem." Says, "Maybe the lady in charge, if she's in a good mood, she'll give you a letter that it's okay." It's the way it works in Eretz Yisrael. If they're in a good mood, then you'll get it. If not, they'll send you to another office, and then they'll send you to another office. Before you know it, you are nuts. So we go up to the room. We're waiting for the head lady. Big room. And sitting across from me, waiting for this head lady, is a man in a wheelchair. And I'm the guy who asks the things that everybody else thinks. So I strike up a conversation. I said, "Wow, it was amazing weather. In London, it was 10, 12 degrees. And over here, it was 20-something. He says, "Yeah, it's beautiful. February, usually even we don't have it this nice." I said to him, "Hayita batzava? You were in the army?" He says to me, "How do you think this happened?" Again, he had no legs, both his legs, only didn't even come up to the knee. I said, "When were you in the army?" He says, "93. I thought to myself, I don't know of any wars in 93. I said, "Makara?" Says to me, "Mishmar HaGvul, Border Patrol." And he's looking at me. And I'm not really sure what to say. It's a bit awkward. That's the problem with asking the things that nobody else asks. And I said to him, "Toda rabah sheshamarta aleinu. Thank you for protecting us. We appreciate it." Chiloni guy looks at me like I'm crazy. And he points up and he says, "Rak hu shomer aleinu. Only He protects us." He says to me, "Baruch Hashem, yesh yiladim. Baruch Hashem, ani bari. Ta tzadich lirot et ha-chaverim sheli. Thank God I have kids. Thank God I'm healthy. You should see some of my friends." My wife is sitting there. She was in tears. She couldn't believe it. This is a guy, 20 years in a wheelchair. What's he saying? Rak hu shomer aleinu. Baruch Hashem. And I couldn't help but compare. Similar type of situations. One guy doesn't mention Hashem. And one guy says, "Only He protects us. Thank God I'm healthy." You can do a lottery, says Reb Chaim. You can have a Purim. And Haman can make a lottery and say, "There's no such thing as Hashem." But when we make a lottery, it's the extreme opposite. It's precisely because we don't know what to do. We say, "Hashem, we're putting this in your hands 1,000,000%. We don't know what to do. We're not sure what it's all about. We're going to leave it up to you, Hashem. We're not in control at all." Why, says Reb Chaim, is it Purim? Is it plural? Because there's always the flip side. You might have a Haman who thinks there's no such thing as Hashem. But it's the exact opposite. It's all Hashem. And only when you drink, says the Maharal on Purim, then you know you don't know. Men have to drink to know they're not in control. You see a guy, he's drunk. What's it? I don't know, I can't. He knows he's not in control. The Purim story, we thought we knew. You go back to Shushan 2,500 years ago, and I was thinking to myself, and then I saw Rav Dessler says the same thing. You're in Shushan. You keep on waiting for those 70 years. And then the 70 years, according to most people's calculations, are up, and Ahasuerus is sitting there wearing the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. And he says, I want everybody to come to the party. And everyone says, we got to go. Public relations. And you have one old fanatic rabbi saying, don't go to the party. And they say, Rabbi, you come from the old country, from Jerusalem. It doesn't work like that anymore. The way it works over here in the new country, this is Persia. It seems like Hashem's abandoned us. We got to go to the party. We know we have to go. And Mordechai is saying, you're not allowed to go. Rabbi, get with the times. You're being old school. And they go to the party because they know they have to go. And then Haman rises to power and Haman says, I want everyone to bow down. And everyone says, what are we going to do? You got to bow down. An old school fanatic rabbi, we'll call him Mordechai, he's saying, I'm not bowing down. And they're saying, Rabbi, you're going to cause us problems. Come on. Before, you don't want to go to the party, you don't have to go, but now you're going to cause... And then Haman says, I'm killing all the Jews. Minarva, Zaken, old, young, everybody. Because this one old school fanatic rabbi is not bowing down to me. If you're the average Jew in Persia, you want to kill Mordechai, no? He's a crazy guy. He's an extremist that's ruining it for everybody. He's in the old country. He doesn't realize it doesn't work like that anymore. Maybe in Yerushalayim it worked like that. Hey, he was there with Yechaniah, but over here nowadays, you got to get with the times. And the whole time they're thinking, Mordechai's the bad guy. And they know they have to go, but they also know they have Queen Esther, their ace in the hole. In case something really goes wrong, she'll protect us. They know. And then suddenly, Esther invites Haman to a party. And they don't know what's going on anymore. And then what do they see? Haman leading around old school fanatic Rabbi Mordechai on a horse, wearing the king's clothes. And they don't know what is going on. And then they see the gallows. They say, oh, we know that Mordechai is going to be hung. And 2 days later, who's hung on the gallows? Haman. And they know that they don't know what's going on anymore. You don't know, Ben Aru Haman Baruch Mordechai, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? We don't know. We simply don't know. When you drink, you understand you're not in charge. You understand it all comes from Hashem. Why is this mazal of fish? What does it have to do with anything? It's all about understanding. We put our trust in Hashem, and He's got our back. We put our trust in Hashem and He'll protect us. We drink because we have to know that we don't know. We put our trust in Hashem. We make a lottery precisely because we say everything's up to Hashem. And that's what Boaz meant and that's what Eliezer meant. That's what Mordechai meant when he said, Asher Karahu. It's all up to Hashem. I'll just end with one last idea. It says, Vayetze Yaakov of Eretz Shava. Till now, Yaakov has been living at home, Yitzchak and Rivka. Till now, Yaakov has been learning Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eber. And now, it's time to go out into the big bad world. He's in his 80s. And it says, Vayetze. Says the Arizal, what does Vayetze stand for? It's an acronym. Vayetze stands for Vayar Yaakov Tzurat Aleph. Yaakov sees the shape of an olive. That's what he says. Okay. So we think about it and we say, olive represents one, represents the Yehudu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olive also is a yud and a vav. Yud, yud, vav is Gematria 26. He sees the Shem Hashem. Everywhere he goes. When the Rabbeinu Yonah discusses someone that's always complaining, says, this person's a nirgun. Some people, they're never happy. I heard a story of a guy. He was in his late 20s. He was complaining, I can never find a good wife. There's no good girls out there. Finally, a guy gets married. Someone says to him, how's the married life? says, you know, I never knew what true happiness was till I got married. And now it's too late. Yeah. Some people are never happy, no matter what. Rabbi Yonah calls this guy a near gun. He's always complaining. Says Rabbi Yonah, he's mafrid aluf. He separates his connection with his friends, with his families, with Hashem, with himself. Because he's always negative, always complaining. And I heard one Rav say, you could also read it as mafrid aleph. He separates the aleph. When you're always complaining, it means you don't see Hashem. And if there's no aleph, then you're in big trouble. In many key words in Judaism, if there's no aleph, we're done. We say every time make a bracha, Baruch Ata, Adon, and then I. Aleph, Dalit, and then Nun Yud. You take out the aleph, you're left with the letters, Din. The Gemara tells us, B'nai Yisrael Nikri in Adam. We're called an Adam. You take the aleph out of Adam, what are you left with? Dam. We have to emulate Hashem and be Emet. You take the aleph out of Emet, what are you left with? Met. We daven for the Geula. You take the aleph out of Geula, out of redemption, what are you left with? Goyle, you're sent into exile. If you don't have the aleph, if you don't have Hashem in your life, we're in big trouble. You have judgment, and you have blood, and you have death. Why doesn't it tell us what the Simcha of Adar is? It does. What is Adar? Mishenichnas Adar. Adar is Aleph, Dar. Ladur, to live with the Aleph. You want to be the Simcha? All you got to do is start seeing Hashem. That's what the whole month's about. The mazal and the name and the drinking, it's all the same ideas. Aleph, Dar. Start living with seeing Hashem in your life. We read Megillat Esther. We're Megale, we reveal. What is Esther? Esther is Aleph, Seter. We start revealing the hiddenness of the Aleph. Everywhere we go, everything we do, we have to see Hashem. I didn't see anyone say this, so feel free to disagree. But Thursday, I was looking up some stuff on the Parsha. And we know it says, Vayikra al Moshe. This past week it said, Vayikra al Moshe. Hashem calls to Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem ilam o'o moed emor. And Hashem speaks to him from the o'o moed. And you might say, obviously, if Hashem called him, he's going to speak to him. So what does that tell us? Vayikra Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem ilam. So we all know Vayikra is a term of chavivut, of love. And we all know it says Vayikra with a small aleph. It says the Medrash, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, he was humble. He wanted to say Vayikar. So I saw the Chatam Sofer asks, how come Moshe Rabbeinu changed the Torah? He can't take out a letter. Hashem says, this is the Torah. How could he possibly take a letter out of the Torah and change it from Vayikra to Vayikar? Answers the Chasam Sofer, beautiful idea. Moshe was never going to change what the Torah said. He was just going to separate it. You have in Parshas Ha'azinu, it says, Ha la Hashem tigmul uzot am navo v'lo chacham. The hey is almost like its own letter, its own word. He says, that's what it was going to do. Moshe Rabbeinu was going to do that. Which means, what was it going to write? What was it going to say? Vayikar Aleph El Moshe. Vayikar Aleph El Moshe. Because the Aleph was recognizable to Moshe, comma, therefore, Vayidaber Hashem Elam O'moed Emor. Because Vayikar Aleph, because everything he did, he saw the Aleph. It was Nikar, Vayikar Aleph El Moshe, comma, therefore, Hashem speaks to him. Why was Moshe so humble? Everything he did, he saw Hashem. You want to be happy in life. You want to have simcha. Learn the lesson of the month of Azar. It's one of the most fundamental lessons in life. Everything we do, we have to understand, comes from Hashem. The drinking, Adilo Yoda. We don't know. When you drink, you understand that you're not in charge. You know that you don't know. We thought we knew, but we don't know. The name Purim, we make a lottery. You put our trust in Hashem 1,000,000%. Mishenichnas Aleph Dar, when we start to live with the Aleph, then, and we read Megillat Esther, we start being Megal, the Aleph Seter, then we can truly be happy. We have to understand, Rak Hu Shomer Aleinu. Only Hashem protects us. Baruch Hashem Yesh Iladim, Baruch Hashem Ani Bari. Be'ezrat Hashem, please God, will make sure that we start seeing the Aleph in everything we do. We start seeing Hashem, we start appreciating, and then we be Zoche to the greatest thing we can have, Hashem, Hashem. Doesn't only mean Hashem gives chesed and all the bracha to thousands of generations. Hashem gives all this to those who are alafim, those who see the aleph. Mirza Hashem, we'll see the Aleph, we'll be Aleph Dar, we'll live with Hashem, we'll drink, we'll have a Freilich and Purim, but we'll understand we're not in control. And Mirza Hashem, once we see the hiddenness of Hashem, we'll be Zoicha to see the open miracles in the month of Nisan. Amen.